the NFL draft like never before on the field at U.S. Bank Stadium for the Miller Lite Vikings draft party Thursday, April 25th. Follow the first round of the NFL draft with live coverage from our sister station, The Fan, as we welcome the newest member of the Vikings. Learn more at vikings.com/draft party and enter to win tickets now at TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com, keyword contest.
Three of your Wednesday edition of Justice and Drew is underway. Good morning. Welcome back to the program.
Good morning.
651-989-5855 is the phone number. We are very much looking forward to being joined by Jesse Kelly here in about 35 minutes or so.
I've been in the middle of trying to help Melinda with her travel arrangements.
No.
Yeah, she's in California, right? For those that don't know, she's with her mom, and they're doing like a women of the family trip to Disneyland this week, and she's supposed to be flying back tomorrow, and she gets in like I think like at 6 tomorrow night at MSP.
Just about at the height of the blizzard snow.
That's not a good time to be trying to fly in or out of MSP.
Well, and Sam mentioned in her 5 earlier, almost all the airlines are offering waivers for like the next 72 hours. And I told her, I said, well, make sure that, I know that's for people that are flying out of MSP. I'm pretty sure that they've specified that. So I'm like, I told her, well, you need to reach out to the airline immediately to find out whether or not that also includes coming in to MSP if you were traveling around.
Yeah, it doesn't really specify in the story. It just said that most of the airlines are issuing waivers for flights scheduled on April 10th and 11th. Doesn't really totally specify coming in or going out. I would assume that anything that goes on the runway would be involved in that. It's not like...
I think, well, too bad for you if you left MSP and want to come back. It's only for people that are leaving the airport, you know what I mean?
We're trying to keep them here.
Yeah. I mean, unless it's a matter of trying to alleviate the outgoing traffic for canceled flights leaving to keep the incoming traffic coming in. So be that as it may, I've been dealing with that. We need to go and deal with the phones because Eric in Uptown has successfully dialed 651-989-5855.
Good job, Eric.
Comments about immigration. Go.
Immigration. So it's the long game, guys, is what I'm seeing here. What if Mexico, I mean, we're pinned in between Canada and Mexico, what if everybody got together and just said, hey, you know what? Just send them all to the United States. Just keep sending them. Just keep sending them. And then, that's, you know what the United States will do? They'll put up a wall for us so we can keep them there. And that's kind of my funny thing. As for the storm, I go back and forth to Denver 3 times a week, so I can tell you for a fact that all the waivers are really good, and it doesn't matter with me because I go back and forth from Denver.
What do you go back in Denver for, back and forth for Denver for so often?
I go to
dispensaries.
Grow marijuana.
Do you really?
I was
making a joke, but it turns out it was accurate.
Can I give you a shameless plug? It's a how da CBD, not how to CBD, just how da CBD.
How to CBD?
And how da CBD.
Sam loves CBD. She's all about CBD.
Where do you stand on the CBD does or doesn't get you high debate?
It doesn't get you high.
Eric?
Where do I stand on it? Nobody really knows.
No.
You know, I mean, we've been playing with this for a while now, and it doesn't really, you know, have too many adverse effects, but it is a great anti-inflammatory. You know, the hemp, really what it was we were all doing this with cannabis. We were taking the CBD out of cannabis. And then a few years back, they said, you know what, there's CBD in hemp. And then the big evil machine got involved, and now you have CBD in everything. But it's been refined to such an extent that it is a great anti-inflammatory. And I just sell bulk. You know what I mean? Yeah. I sell pounds.
Well, I know. What I'm hearing, Eric, is that when you talk about it being an anti-inflammatory, it doesn't inflame your mood.
You know, I mean...
It might. I don't know. I wouldn't want to, like, let Sam take a big old hit and, you know, just, like, watching her go, you know? I didn't mean that bad. I mean, I bet that's so good.
Right.
Can't even...
It doesn't get me high. I mean, interestingly enough, I do, like, I do use CBD products mainly for the anti-inflammatory benefits. And when I broke my back, the whole first week, I was really, really good about taking it. And then, like, the last couple of days, I haven't really been taking it because I'm dumb. I wasn't thinking about it, whatever. And I literally can't sit flat against my chair right now because my back is swollen in that spot and it hurts. And I feel like I didn't have that problem when I was actually taking my CBD oil.
There you go.
Take a mix. Take, like, I use this Advil. And then I use, there's something called, I invented it. You're going to laugh. It's based on Star Trek. It's called strain phase resistance. When you shoot a Borg, you know, first one dies, but the second doesn't, and the third doesn't.
Okay.
All sweaty.
So what I did was I created three different types of hemp. And, you know, I bred it, three different types of hemp. So you do hemp one day, hemp 2 day, and 3 days, but it's three different types, so it always works for
That's
you.
That's the plot but line of Star gonna... Trek Discovery Season 2.
The hemp project.
I'm just kidding.
Take Advil one day, take something the next day, and just keep changing it up, and it'll always work for you.
All right.
Great.
If you
thank
do
you.
It every day, it's not going to.
Eric, thank you so much for the call. That's great information. We appreciate it. And good luck with all your marijuana.
Yep. Down there, I'm a businessman. Up here, I'm a criminal. That's why we have CBD.
There you go. Thanks, Eric. Appreciate your call.
See you later, guys.
Maybe she has, you know, she has a back brace.
That she does never wears.
She doesn't. Maybe if she wore it, right. It wouldn't be swollen. It would be,
yeah, exactly.
Keep things.
Or maybe she
like
would just, you know, keep taking the CBD. That was so helpful.
It is that, yeah. You guys are playing dirty when you start talking about me, and I'm on, and you know I'm on the phone. You're just playing dirty now.
In my defense, I didn't realize you were on the phone until after I started talking.
I do like how she's like, you know, and the first week I was pretty good. It's only been a week.
It's been. Tomorrow it'll be 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's been very little more than a week, it's and you're already like, whatever.
I've never known anybody. I can respect it, but I never known anybody to get as injured as you do and then immediately just shove it out of your mind.
Right?
Man, I would go crazy if I actually like thought about and lamented how much
it
hurt.
Like, again, I respect that, but still, it's to the detriment of your body.
It's just funny, though, getting the reaction of like, because I'll be walking around at work here, and then somebody, a salesperson the other day was like, did you hurt your back? And I'm like, yeah, I broke my back last week.
It's all better now.
And as I'm walking around in heels and no brace on,
I'm like Wolverine. Nobody told you I heal immediately. It doesn't matter the damage that happens to me.
I just ignore it. I compartmentalize the pain.
All right, let's go here.
It's not easy being green.
This actually works with Pot Talk, too. I didn't realize that.
TCNT Pot Talk.
I hadn't even thought about that. We're talking about things like global warming and the impositions that the government puts upon you to try to stop global warming. Shocking article that NPR would actually go and admit something like this. However, there is an article here. The national movement to get rid of plastic bags is gaining steam, has been for a while. These bags may be hurting the environment more than helping it. University of Sydney, economist Rebecca Taylor started studying bag regulations because it seemed as though every time she moved for a new job from Washington, D.C. to California to Australia, bag restrictions were implemented shortly after. They were chasing her down. And she actually said that. Yeah, these policies might be following me, she joked. It's so funny. Taylor recently published a study of bag regulations in California. It's a classic tale of unintended consequences. We've chronicled this before, but it does crack me up that you've got, you know, a liberal bastion like this that is actually also now speaking the truth. Taylor found that the bag bans did what they were supposed to do. Okay, people in cities with the bans used fewer plastic bags, which led to about 40 million fewer pounds of plastic trash per year. That's great. But people who used to reuse their shopping bags, right, for other purposes, like picking up dog poop, that's what we do, or lining trash bins, still needed bags. She went on to say, what I found was that the sales of garbage bags actually skyrocketed after plastic grocery bags were banned. This was particularly the case for small 4-gallon bags, which saw a 120% increase in sales after the bans went into effect.
So about 40 million fewer pounds of plastic trash each year, but an increase of 120% in the sale of 4-gallon bags. People are now going out and buying the bags that they used to get at the grocery store at no additional charge, you know, and it would serve the dual purpose, much like the Green Line.
And here's the problem, okay? And this goes back to the why we did things this way in the first place. Trash bags are thick and use more plastic than a typical shopping bag. So about 30% of the plastic that was eliminated by the ban comes back in the form of thicker garbage bags. On top of that, cities that banned plastic bags saw a surge in the use of paper bags, which estimates resulted in about 80 million pounds of extra paper trash per year. Plastic haters, the article goes on to say, it's time to brace yourselves. A bunch of studies find that paper bags are actually worse for the environment. They require cutting down and processing trees, which involves lots of waters, toxic chemicals, fuel, heavy machinery. While paper is biodegradable and avoids some of the problems of plastic, Taylor says the huge increase of paper together with the uptick in plastic trash bags means that banning plastic shopping bags increases greenhouse gas emissions. The truth shall set you free.
A bunch of garbage. Bunch of garbage. These yet again, you know, and especially when it comes to environmental issues. Every time it seems like the government makes some new law, some new regulation, you know, like I said, especially in these types of issues, it always ends up making things worse.
Yeah.
It always ends up making things worse. You know, just have some faith in the citizenry. Have some faith in the people out there that they're going to, you know, use as little waste as possible. Everybody I know likes to decrease the amount of waste in their life, and they take efforts to decrease the amount of waste in their life, either for environmental reasons or just because that's how they're wired. Everybody I know, I don't know anybody who is willy-nilly just like adding a bunch of garbage to the environment.
And before you start talking about tote bags and reusable bags, we'll get to that in just a second. First off, though,
yeah, those things are gross.
We've used the example when it comes to things like changing names on buildings from individuals that may have owned slaves in the past, or, you know, Bede Makaska Lakes and Calhoun and all this kind of stuff. We've used the argument of, you know, if you whitewash over history and you don't put things in their proper context, you know, you're gonna lose out in the long term when it comes to making those same mistakes again, right? And it's not to say, and again, that's not taking a stance on any of those particular issues and who may or may not be offended. It is to say that there are other ways to tackle things rather than just shunning the past, forgetting about it, like Sam forgot about her broken back, right? My point is this. There's a reason why plastic bags were invented in the first place. And this never gets talked about. Like, why do you think we went to single serving items and plastic forks and styrofoam containers and things like this? Because over time, the free market discovered that it was way more cost effective and better for the consumer and themselves to actually go and have these particular products. And this is precisely the reason why.
Yeah.
Banning the bags is a massive step backwards to what brought them to fruition in the first place, which was a good thing.
Yeah. And you can apply that to a lot of other areas that these same people like to promote. Streetcars and trolleys and trains. There's a reason why, you know, cities abandoned these lines a long time ago, because people stopped using them as they developed, you know, more automobile technology, right? And as people were able to get themselves around at their discretion, at their leisure, on their schedule, you know, going where they want, when they want, the freedom and autonomy that a vehicle gives you. Yet they want to go backwards, and they want to get everybody, you know, huddled on these trains again.
If I could hit the fast forward button on the show, like, 2 decades to, you know, hey, it's Justice and Drew here. I don't know if we'll sound like that in 20 years, but be that as it may, we could be here. I could predict we would be here having a conversation about all the autonomous vehicles driving around all over God's creation, mm-hmm. right? And how we used to argue this very... Remember back, Drew, when they were arguing about hands-free devices? What a colossal waste of time that was. Look at the studies that were done now about how it actually increased the number of distracted driving accidents and did very little to decrease anything. And besides the fact, nobody's even driving the cars anymore because they're all driven by themselves through the minds of the individual that's sitting in the seat without having to touch a single control. I just write that down for a bit 20 years from now, the segment.
Archive that. We'll use that in a best of in about 22 years.
It's true. It's so true. We're going to be having this ridiculous conversation about, remember when they got together in the legislature and they banned all the hands-free devices and they were all so proud of themselves? All right, on to the tote bags. So what about reusable cloth bags, right? We know diehard public radio fans love them, according to NPR. They've got to be great, right? Nope, they can be worse. 2011 study in the UK, government found a person would have to reuse their cotton tote bags, cotton tote bag 131 times before it was better for climate change than using a plastic bag once.
You know what happens over the course of that 131 times? It grows mold.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
It gets really gross.
If you saw the trailer for the next season of Stranger Things, that beast at the end, that's what that grew from. It was a reusable bag. They estimate that you would have to use an organic cotton bag 20,000 times more than a plastic grocery bag to make it better for the environment.
Wow.
So then
that's a study that takes into account environmental impacts, like water use, damage to ecosystems, and air pollution, all the stuff that goes into creating these bags.
The most environmentally friendly way to carry groceries is to use the same bag over and over again, according to a Danish study. The best reusable ones are made from polyester or plastics. Those still have to be used dozens of times to be greener than plastic grocery bags and have the smallest carbon footprint for single use. Now, Taylor does say that a small fee is smarter than a ban. She has a second paper showing a small fee for bags is just as effective as a ban when it comes to encouraging the use of reusable bags. But a fee offers flexibility for people who reuse plastic bags for garbage disposal or dog walking. Or you can do this and that's not do anything at all.
Right.
Just let people use the bags like they do, and responsible individuals like me go and recycle them and use them to go and pick up dog poop and a whole host of other things around the house.
This story was done by NPR, which made me laugh because the last line in the story is, you know, this bag research makes public radio's love for tote bags kind of awkward, doesn't it? So maybe next year they'll start giving out plastic grocery bags to all of the donors that they like to fleece.
It's just insane. I said, people just forget we have all these things that are this way for a reason. Not to say it applies to everything, but the free market made decisions a long time ago on so many of these different things that the left wants to go and battle against, all in the name of climate change or taking more of your tax dollars, right? Hey, congratulations on getting your 20-year preview of the Justice and Truth Show. That's a whole segment in 20 years from now we don't have to do.
Right. And then we'll open that day's show with a segment about some email that I didn't open from you. in
probably the one reminding you about this particular bit. All right, coming up, we do have Jesse Kelly joining us just after the bottom of the hour. We're certainly going to get his thoughts on Candace Owen and the controversy that went viral yesterday. Coming up, there's a brand new app that's available. It lets hot models trade their looks for...
N1035 FM. Well, that's Buffalo.
All right.
All right.
Welcome back. Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 1035 FM.
Yeah, apparently Snowmageddon starts in Buffalo at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, it's updated. When I looked this morning, we weren't getting snowflakes until this afternoon, but now mine says 11 a.m., 60%. But it does transition back to like a rain-snow mix for most of the day.
Not in Buffalo.
Has it changed anything? Have you looked further into tomorrow? Because like right now...
Because earlier today, I admitted that I have not been taking the storm seriously.
No, I hadn't either. And like we've been talking about, my wife's in California, supposed to fly back tomorrow. At this point in time, I think she's taking your advice. I don't think she's ever coming home. I said, maybe Friday. She goes, looks like Saturday. I don't know, maybe Sunday. I don't know.
She's like, oh, you know, these palm trees are really keeping me shady. And, you know,
it's the first time she's been without any part, like without me or the boys, like on her own.
She's got to probably, you know, I'm betting that, you know, she's gonna come home and she'd be like, you know, the flights, you know, really cheap right now out to California.
I really like it. I really hated California, but I really like it now.
I think I'll take like a weekend.
And don't miss you guys at all.
A couple weeks. Go get some milk for years.
That's funny. That's a good callback. We just as a side note, we've been retweeting. I love science, but scientists have obtained the first image of a black hole using the Event Horizon Telescope observations, the center of the galaxy, M87. The image shows a bright ring formed as light bends in the intense gravity around the black hole that is 6.5 billion times more massive than the sun.
Whoa.
It really isn't. Look. It's an image. We described it. When you consider what that is, that's really amazing. That's super cool. That is just That is super cool.
It is. It's neat. If you you check our Twitter feed, check the TCNT feed. We've retweeted some pictures. I mean, there's not much to see, but still, it's pretty neat.
Yeah, when you consider what that actually is and how often it's been. It's been
6.5 billion times bigger than the sun.
Right.
Boy, you want to feel small. You want to feel insignificant.
Right?
Right? I mean, but let's ban plastic bags. Because,
right.
You know.
Right.
We could all get swallowed up by a black hole tomorrow.
If you ever want to see what is, by most scientists, the best depiction of a black hole on film. It's not the Disney film from the 80s. Interstellar, actually. Interstellar, the Christopher Nolan directed movie with Matthew McConaughey. He brought in a whole bunch of really smart dudes. And basically, when they recreated a black hole in that film, they say that that is the best visual representation ever put to film of what most scientists believe a black hole actually looks like.
And what film did you say that was?
Interstellar.
Interstellar.
Oh, I love that movie. Maybe I'll watch this weekend. You know, when I get past all the Star Wars. Like every weekend. All right, we got a story here. All right. As if being good looking, well, the article says hot, wasn't already unfair for the rest of the population. Now the beautiful people can trade their looks for free restaurant meals, concerts,
yeah,
fitness classes, beauty treatments.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, being a hot model, you know, life was pretty hard already. Life was tough for the beautiful people.
And
you know, thank goodness that somebody has developed an app to really, you know, deal with the struggles that all the beautiful people have to overcome in life. Give me a break.
I'm also willing to bet that these very, very beautiful people that can get this free stuff probably have been getting free stuff for a long time.
Of course they have.
Of course they have. That was the whole point of the app. Was that let's make it easier to connect people that want to give beautiful people free stuff with the beautiful people who want the free stuff.
Build as a model's passport to everything. Neon Coat is an app that lets models leverage their social media followings and businesses willing to give away goods and swag for exposure.
Right. These are the influencers.
Well, and again, you know what? If there's a bunch of idiot dudes that are going to capitalize on their good looks, and you know what? That's on them. I get it, you know, but it does. I don't have a problem with it. Whatever. It does fly in the face of when we get into the political and the politically correct discussions of privilege and all the different privilege that people lay out. There are so many different varieties. There's millions of different combinations of privilege that all kinds of different people experience on a daily basis that never, ever get focused on or talked about, and including good-looking person privilege.
Yeah, pretty privilege.
Pretty privilege.
Pretty privilege is probably the most real and most consistent form of privilege there is out there.
Joey Bats Cafe owner and single guy, Joseph Batista, says that since signing up, there's been a windfall of attractive catwalkers strutting into his Lower East Side spot every day to claim two free pastries and a beverage. In exchange, they'll hang around, share a story on Instagram about the space. He said the typical outcome, although a post isn't mandatory.
It should be. It should be. I mean, that should be the whole point of this. And if that was the real intent of this, and maybe it is, you know, I get it. You know, if these people really do have influence over their followers on Instagram or Twitter or Snapchat or whatever, and the agreement is, all right, beautiful person, you come into my place of business, I'll give you a free product. In the exchange, you tweet, snap, whatever, and make sure to tag my business, then I see some value there.
I don't know this for sure because the story doesn't lay it out. I think, though, if they were to make it mandatory, now you're getting into the legalese part of it. I imagine that if that's a part of the contract, then now you've got government involvement. I think by making it not mandatory, sort of implied, then you can avoid sort of the hot for play. pay for hotness. I don't know how else you want to.
Maybe. And I'm not a lawyer.
Pretty so for
I,
pay.
I don't know for certain, but I would imagine that is something that could easily be taken care of in the terms and conditions. You know, by using this app, you agree to the following. And nobody reads those things and they all click agree.
Right.
And one of those terms can be, you know, the exchange is, you know, if Joey Bat's Cafe is going to give you two free pastries and a beverage, the, you know, your exchange for that is marketing, you know, for this place.
He says that as soon as his daily six allotted slots for freebies are made available to the model community at 8 p.m. the night before, they're instantly snapped up. People hanging around the space is always good. Having attractive people is even better, said the 39-year-old, who's been using Neon Code since he opened this past summer. Though he initially used the service for free, he now pays $200 a month for the privilege of using the app.
That's obscene.
He's obviously making bank.
Yeah.
Well, he obviously believes he's getting the value.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Clearly. But you're paying $200 a month and giving away free product.
You see,
that to me is crazy.
You see, it's even a draw for slack-jawed passerby. You see two attractive girls sitting in the window, and guys are curious, Batista said. They grab a pastry, they sit next to the models, hoping to strike up a conversation with them. So the Neon Coat founder, Dan Berger, said the app has gained steam since it was launched in 2017. It now has 36,000 agented models with a total reach of 100 million Instagram followers who pay nothing to join. More than 100 businesses participate, and they have a list of businesses here. Typical offerings include a comp to dinner with drink, heavily discounted haircuts, free yoga classes. For his business partner, former model Larissa Drencona, the service is a way to help underpaid models get on their feet. A model's life is very lonely. You're pretty, and people think you make millions of dollars, said the Slovenian-born Larissa of the unregulated industry. Domika Burns, a 35-year-old model from Brooklyn, posts about her twice-weekly Neon Coat jaunts to yoga classes and lunch spots to her 3,000-plus Instagram followers.
That's not a huge number of Instagram
really
followers.
Not at all.
I mean, in the grand scheme of things, I don't have that many, but, I mean, that's not a huge number.
I mean, so the giving models free stuff. Okay. It's not the fact that they're models. It's the fact that they have followers mainly, in my opinion, I think, that they have the...
If that were true, though, they would open it up to people that have... There's plenty of non-models that have a lot of Instagram and other followers
yep,
as well.
Absolutely.
You know, they would open up. This is about beautiful people.
Yeah.
It's about getting beautiful people to your place of business, getting them hanging out, getting them posting on social media about your business, and hoping that will attract... I don't know, dudes, I guess.
but women too, because women will see other, like, much, much more beautiful women at a place, and they're like, well, if that beautiful person goes to that place, then that must be the place right, where beautiful people go, so I should go there too.
It's
silly, but it's just human nature.
I'm not nearly bothered I'm not bothered at all by it whatsoever. But I don't get bothered by... and it's not saying that you do. I'm just saying, just me personally. When it comes to like celebrities, not musicians so much, but celebrities or athletes, or especially athletes and especially models, like the privilege that they get doesn't bother me because I just know that it ain't gonna last. You know, your athlete isn't gonna have that talent forever, and is going to eventually have to find, if they've made a name for themselves and they can go on to broadcasting or whatever, then they're fantastic. But a lot of athletes don't do that, and models, man, what do you do? Because that stuff,
you got a shelf life.
Yeah, it'll last that way forever. No matter how much Botox you pump into you.
You ain't a Twinkie. You ain't gonna last forever.
right.
There's a shelf life.
Yeah.
And I'm not like bothered by that.
I know,
but it does. It makes me laugh because there's so much focus and attention put on privilege these days. You know, you're privileged because of who you are. But they do. They ignore the point that you made earlier, that everybody has some degree of privilege based on who they are, what they look like. And everybody has some degree of struggles and challenges based on who they are, what they look like, or where they come from, or things like that. There's nobody that is coasting through life without some hurdles to overcome, without some challenges placed in front of them. But nobody talks about just the beautiful person privilege. That is, you know, right. it transcends race, gender, you know, ethnicity, where you're from, whether you're gay, whether you're straight, what religion you are, all of that. It transcends all of that. If you're a beautiful person, you know, generally, and not to say that you don't have struggles, not to say that, you know, you don't have challenges to overcome, but generally, life treats you pretty good.
Until you make the mistake, right, if it is, until you go and make the mistake of voicing an opinion that has an impact on all those subgroups that you just mentioned.
Yeah, right. Voicing the wrong opinion.
Right. So the beautiful person is fine if you stay just completely, if you just stay beautiful and neutral, right. You're golden. But look, I mean, and Taylor Swift's a good example.
That's exactly where my head went to. It was Taylor Swift because she did such a fabulous job for what, I mean, over a decade.
Right.
Not showing any
just
kind of
music. Yeah, not being political about it.
Yep. She was just doing her thing. She was just the musician who had her cats and her goofy whatever. She interacted with her fans. It was really cool. She was super down to earth. And then she's gotten political and she says she's going to get more political. And I think that's a mistake because yes, I love her music. Yes, I'm still going to listen to her music, but I'm listening to it with this kind of tinge of like, I mean,
sure.
This is kind of lame just because I know that she went out there and she was like, I need to use my platform.
And she's probably not all that educated on the particular issues.
Yeah, and that's frustrating.
But the beautiful person privilege goes away the moment one of those subgroups is negatively affected.
Yeah.
And then suddenly
you've offended them.
Yeah, once you've offended them, then suddenly, yeah, your beauty isn't worth nearly as much anymore. But as long as you're all things to all people. You know, hey, you know, the world is your oyster.
just look pretty on Instagram.
Right.
Jesse Kelly, speaking of beautiful people.
Jesse Kelly, PrivenCitiesNewsTalk.com.
I won't suffer. Final segment of your Wednesday edition of Justice and Drew is underway. 651-989-5855 is the phone number if you would like to take part in the program at any time.
Joining us, as he does every Wednesday, we are very pleased to welcome to the show.
Watch out!
Jesse!
Provocateur, fellow iHeart radio host Jesse Kelly. So, Jesse Kelly, where do you stand on nationalism?
I'm not clear on what it is. To be totally honest with you, it's become this thing that they act like everybody who supported Trump was a KKK member or something. Look, I support trade, nations trade. There's an old saying that if goods stop crossing borders, then armies will. It's necessary to trade with people. That's fine. But I also think there's a lot to be said for your leaders looking out for your people first. That's why we elect them. It's the job of the president and the people in Congress to look out for Americans first. Now, not only Americans. We're not isolationists, but it is us first. So if that's nationalism, I don't know. I don't know what you call that.
We're, of course, referring to, and if you go to TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com and the Justice and Drew page, if you're not on Twitter, you can see the exchange where Representative Liu, during this ridiculous congressional testimony hearing, talking about just the impact of hate on online, and Candace Owens was invited to come, and Liu played a piece of audio. Well, and actually, as a matter of fact, Jesse, if you can indulge us, we have the audio. Would you mind if we shared it with the listeners here?
Well, I prefer listening to myself, but sure.
Okay, real quick. Here's the quick version of what Liu played.
In congressional hearings, the minority party gets to select its own witnesses, and of all the people that Republicans could have selected, they picked Candace Owens. I don't know Miss Owens. I'm not going to characterize her. I'm going to let her own words do the talking. So I'm going to play for you the first 30 seconds of a statement she made about Adolf Hitler.
I agree. I actually don't have any problems at all with the word.
I'm going to stop it here because you can go online to hear the rest of it, and just simply because of time, and we do want to hear from you, Jesse. You know, Drew made a point. I made the point because Jerry Nadler, one of the representatives there, had misspoke, saying that she, Candace Owens, called Liu stupid, and she didn't. She made an assumption of what Liu must be thinking of black people based off of his comments of playing that piece of audio, which was clearly out of context. And I made the comment that, you know what, if these two individuals, if Liu and Nadler were men, they would have just said, hey, you know what, I wasn't listening to you, you didn't call him stupid, I apologize. And Liu would have said, you know what, that was out of context, and I apologize for playing it out of context. But of course, that's not going to happen, and as Drew pointed out, it's because they want to be on record. It's not about actually getting things right. It's about advancing their own narrative and agenda.
It is, and that's the disheartening thing about politics. If you let yourself get too cynical about it, when are they actually working for us? Democrats, Republicans, and what? That was a gigantic political show yesterday. That had nothing to do with any legislation they want passed or anything else. It was a big political show for every idiot Democrat to get on TV and go on record and act like the anti-racist. And the bad part is, Candace Owens, I don't know her personally, but she's clearly smarter than both of those two combined, and they made themselves look terrible. That was disheartening, because we like to let ourselves think that the people in government are smarter than us or more capable in some way. That's comforting. But really, we have the biggest morons in the country in the United States Congress.
Yeah, it's kind of like the dumping ground for, you know, everybody who's sort of outgrown their HOA.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, Ted Lieu, that man is out there on social media every single day embarrassing himself. And he embarrassed himself again yesterday, and she embarrassed him too.
But he didn't care, though. That's the thing. That's what drove me nuts, right? It's one thing that, you know, I expect politicians, I expect those that, you know, have a political agenda to distort things from time to time. It's part of the game, right? You know, you create narratives. But the shamelessness with which he just presented that, and even when he got called out for playing something completely out of context, you know, the camera cut back to Nadler and it cut back to Lieu, and Nadler just shrugged, and Lieu was just staring off into space, not even paying attention. They don't care what Candace Owens has to say. They're not there to listen to Candace Owens. They're there to grandstand. They're there to make their points. They're there to get things on the record to set a narrative. And I think Candace Owens nailed it perfectly when she said, you know, all you're trying to do is scare brown people into voting for you.
It's what they do now. It's what politics has become.
So shameless.
Part of the reason the right fell in love with Donald Trump, because it's what he doesn't apologize. He doesn't look back. He doesn't dwell on something. He just moves forward. And that's what the Democrats have done for so long, that Trump is our answer to that. That's what they do. They don't move on. You're seeing it with the Mueller probe. 2 years. You spent 2 years accusing the president of being a Russian agent, collaborating with a foreign power, everything you could possibly imagine, that he'll be impeached, everything else. It turned out to be a huge dud. Not one apology, not from the Democrats, not from the media, not one even inkling of an apology. They just move right along.
I'm getting more and more convinced that while we you know, go and complain, and you know, we complain, and rightly so, how narratives are pushed via social networking and especially Twitter. I do think, and I'm coming around to the fact that while that is the case, we do often, just as human beings, focus more on the negative. And the truth of the matter is, there is a lot of truth that's also put out there. There is a lot of counterpoints that are put out there. I mean, I guess I would argue that without Twitter, you wouldn't even need to bother, because most of these controversies wouldn't even occur, because you wouldn't be aware of it. But that being said, I think there is a level of yin and yang involved. For as much as the negative narratives are pushed, there's a lot of truth that is also pushed back against that, and that ends up making a big difference. And the Mueller report's a good example, because by and large, apart from, you know, some of the media outlets, people have kind of moved off already, and I think the majority of the electorate, even if you think Orange Man bad, doesn't really care about the full report and what's in it. They've accepted what Barr said, even though if you go to Twitter, that may not be the case, but that's not representative of the majority.
No, I agree, but this era, this is the era of knowledge. This is the era where anything you want to know, anything. Remember, you used to have to go to an encyclopedia or wait and ask for a smart person. Now, anything you want to know is at your fingertips, right on your phone. You can find it all. Social media, Google, you name it. And so getting online now is like drinking from a fire hydrant. All the knowledge is out there. You just got to figure out how to do it safely, or you're going to destroy yourself.
I like that analogy, like drinking out of a fire hydrant. And a lot of people have figured out how to, you know, how to make their voice or their agenda be the first thing that, you know, shoots down your gullet when the fire hydrant opens up. Because, you know, Twitter is the key for vocal minorities to make it seem like they are bigger and more influential, more powerful than they actually are.
Oh, yeah, Twitter is, well, this entire era now is people who necessarily lack any real skills getting rich and famous off of it. I'm blown away by it, and I don't want to sound like an old person, but I just found out there are YouTube guys who play video games and narrate their own video games, mm-hmm. and they make millions of dollars advertising doing that.
Welcome to 2016.
I have nothing against video games or any of that, but I'm stunned that you can make a really great living doing things like that. It's just a new era. You can get famous for anything now.
If you were to shoot video of you just reading your Twitter comments, okay, I think that you would, one, find instant celebrity, two, would probably be removed from YouTube just as fast as that instant celebrity came. But to your point, it's true. Just because of how candid you are in your tweets when you throw it out there, you could make, Jesse, you wouldn't even have to, you didn't make bank. You could live off of that by just shooting you with Jesse reads his own tweets.
Or Jesse reads the replies to his tweets.
Or that.
Yeah.
To that point, as much as I hate bragging on myself, understand now that I have a 2-hour long TV show I host every day now, Monday through Friday. I have a 2-hour primetime radio show I host every day, and that came from Twitter. All that came from social media. So you can the ability, I mean, it is a good thing, it's a bad thing too, but you can really make something of yourself. You can give yourself opportunities that you never had before if you've got the chops to do it. If you find out a way to do it, you'll need some help along the way, but that's just the reality of it. I get paid to talk politics now because of social media, and that's just a fact.
I'm talking with Jesse Kelly live from Bragging Camp. Good signal this morning, by the way.
they must have that 5G down at Bragging Camp.
I hate bringing all the attention to me.
Right. It's amazing you didn't win the election. I don't know how that. I'm sorry. I feel bad even for making that joke, even though it is super funny.
You mentioned the TV show, and we actually this is a relatively new development. Why don't you tell listeners, you know, what that is and how they can find you?
Yeah, I'm on every day 1 to 3 o'clock Eastern Time on America's Voice. You can just look it up on your phone. Shoot, there's an app on your phone you can watch it, but it's on Dish and Amazon and Apple TV and all that. It's just a newer conservative network, you know, and I actually wasn't more focusing on what it is, although I appreciate the chance for a plug. I was just telling people, especially young people, there is opportunity there. If you're smart, don't be an idiot, you know, be smart about it, but you can really make a living at certain things if you want to do it using social media if you use it smartly.
Jesse Kelly, as always, we appreciate the time and our conversations. Have yourself a fantastic day. And when can people check out your show on the iHeartRadio app?
iHeartRadio app, I'm now 5 to 7 Central Time. So that's, 6 to 8 Eastern Time. I went to community college. You can listen anywhere on iHeartRadio.
Take care, Jesse. We'll talk to you next week.
You know, we've been talking a lot about traveling, right? You know, gasbuddy.com. Right? Very similar to Wallet Hub. They put stuff together to get, you know, Yahoo's like us to talk about it. They analyzed gas price data from January to March of this year and found that Monday offered the lowest average gas price in 30 states, making it the best day to fill up your car. I've never thought about filling up my car on a particular day. I just fill it up when I'm empty.
Yeah same.
Same.
100% same. And
Monday offered the lowest average gas price. Interesting.
Saturday was the worst day to buy it in 16 states. Friday has the most expensive increased average price of any other day of the week. There's another part of this, too, I wanted to ask you guys. Okay, what about waiting in line? Gas Buddy also analyzed Gas Buddy foot traffic data in the same time frame and found that gas stations across the country are the least busy on Sundays, followed by Mondays. Friday is the busiest day, at 5 o'clock being the busiest time for gas stations nationwide. But it talks about waiting in line. When was the last time any of you, now granted, we're probably not the good models to go by because of the hours that we travel. When was the last time you waited for a gas pump?
If there's a wait, I just go to the next gas station.
The only time that it happens is when I'm filling up at Costco.
Yeah, those pumps look busy.
They are always busy because the prices are always, you know, a little bit lower than average. So a lot of people specifically go to Costco for gas, and I think the same is true for Sam's Club as well. But I don't, you know, I only use Costco. But yeah, there will rarely not be a couple of cars to wait if you're getting gas from Costco.
We may have to have a Costco getting gas conversation tomorrow because that opens up a whole can of worms in my book. Because I don't ever wait at a car. You're absolutely right. There are lines, But we have to talk about this tomorrow because oftentimes people won't, like, people don't realize that the pump cord stretches.
I know. So they'll wait on the wrong.
Right. And I'm just like, the heck with you, man. I'm not waiting for you. I can stretch this around my Hot Wheel.
Yes.
Just fine to fill it up.
Yes. Yes. Costco has the pumps that they give you enough
room
that even if your gas tank is on the other side of the pump.
Treat it as a free for all, man. It's like to each their own. We're going in Game of Thrones style.
I remember you telling me that there are longs so that you can do that.
Yeah.
And I tried it once and it worked, but I felt so risky because I'm like, what if
I feel like I'm doing something wrong.
Yeah, I felt like
what am I going to break?
Yeah, I felt like it was going to come out. I thought that it was going to break my collarbone. It was just really stressful.
And then you went home and rode a horse.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much.
Okay. Tomorrow on the show, Katie Pavlich from Fox News will be joining us at 8:35. Should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we'll talk about the Israeli elections. I think that last time I checked, Netanyahu got reelected. We'll hopefully dive into that with Katie Pavlich on tomorrow's show. I'm looking forward to it.
Have a great day, everybody. Be safe. Try to stay warm. Talk to you tomorrow, 6 to 9. To communication. I don't give me sorrow. I want equal opportunity to live tomorrow.